Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to this exciting edition of the Quotivation Podcast, a special edition, because this is our milestone episode. We have reached 20 episodes in the quest to inspire you through motivating quotes, one quote at a time. And this is really exciting for me. Of course, we looked back at episode 10, and this was the first time that we celebrated a milestone. 10 episodes. And we took a look at the first 9 guests that we had on the Quotivation Podcast. And then I brought a little quote of my own for the 10th one. And I thought, what a great idea. We should always celebrate the small wins. And we've achieved another by reaching the 20th episode. So today we're going to take a look back at guests 11 through 19. And at the very end, I'm going to add a little quote of my own for the 20th quote of the Quotivation Podcast. And I hope what you find out of this is two things. Number one, I hope you find inspiration and motivation to win your week. That's been my goal since we started this. I want you to win your week. I want you to be able to walk away from listening to the Quotivation Podcast feeling inspired, feeling like you can achieve that goal that you have set out there for yourself, that you can reach your full potential. Because you're incredible, you're great, you're valuable. And I don't care what anyone says, it doesn't matter what the outside forces, the outside voices are saying to you right now, you can do what you were intended and created to do, no matter what that is. And I hope you find the inspiration and motivation to do that today. As we look back at guests 11 through 19 of the Quotivation Podcast. So what do you say? Let's get it started with a special milestone edition of the Quotivation Podcast.
It's time to celebrate. The Quotivation Podcast has hit a milestone, and we are going to celebrate our win and look back to see what we have learned. Come along for the ride and stay for the whole party as Jody provides one of his own quotes to get you quotivated. So get fired up and ready to be inspired so that you can win your week.
All right, I'm excited to take a look back at the last 9 guests that we have had on the Quotivation Podcast as we celebrate our 20th episode. You know, it all started at episode 11. Episode 11 was with Mark Smith. And Mark is a former professional wrestler. But more than that, Mark is an incredible man of God. He had such a strong faith, but he had to go through so much to get to where he is today, to get to having the family that supports him, that loves him, that he loves and cherishes. His story is documented in his book, Wrestling with Demons. It's an incredible read. In fact, I want to read one section to you. There's a section in the book where Mark, and this is the book, Wrestling with Demons by Mark Smith. But Mark is talking about his very last time being in a wrestling ring competitively. This is long after his body had broken down, that he's had multiple surgeries. In fact, in the book, he comments that he should have reserved a room at the hospital. But he had the opportunity one last time to be in the ring. And it was really important because his family was there to watch him, to see him wrestling in action. And after the match, he was able to pin his opponent. And he says, I called the family into the ring and the kids gladly came in. We held up our hands together in victory. For a guy who spoiled so many of his early years in wrestling by being selfish, it felt so good to have my last moment in the wrestling with my family. My last hurrah was more than just pinning that guy in that small town. My last hurrah was being able to know that I had victory in life because of the people that loved me, a God that forgave me, and a wife and children that stuck with me. Powerful story from a man who overcame so much in his life. Overcame abusive home, abusive father. Overcame living the high life in the world of professional wrestling. Overcame himself, his environment, what he was taught. Overcame to the point where he was completely changed, where he was a new man. And Mark's quote, a powerful one, especially for believers who say, God does not make junk. Such a meaningful quote, because so many of us deep down in our hearts feel like that we're not worthy of love. We're not worthy of the things that we have. We're not capable of being a better person. We're not able to kick that addiction. We're not able to move past that anger. We're not able to forgive that person that's harmed us or that has done us wrong, because we're just not good enough. But Mark's quote reminds us, God does not make junk. Every one of us is uniquely gifted. Every single one of us has incredible characteristics and traits and qualities that are unique to us. There is no other person out there like you. You are an individual, and you have individual skills and individual qualities and individual talents that need to be shared with the world. You weren't put here to fail. You weren't created to mess things up. And so find those gifts, find those passions, find your strength to be who you were created to be. Because as Mark says, God does not make junk. I think that's incredible. And there are more incredible stories inside of his book, Wrestling with Demons. And I would encourage you to look that up on Amazon. Grab a copy of it. It's an incredible read. Mark Smith is an incredible human being. He and I have stayed friends since we were last on the Quotivation podcast. And some exciting things are coming up thanks to Mark and with Mark. And I'm excited to be his friend. All right, we'll move on from episode 11 to episode 12. Camber Parker Bowden, the founder and CEO of the YoPro No team. The YoPro No team is equipped to help businesses better understand, hire, and retain young professionals through building cultures and brands that young professionals actually want to work for. They have tons of research. They've done the legwork. They've asked the questions, and they understand what young professionals, particularly in this market that has changed so much since COVID, they understand exactly where and for whom young professionals want to work, what they're looking for, what culture invites them to bring their talents, to bring the things that they were created to do to an organization that will welcome them, appreciate them, utilize them, promote them, grow them, teach them as they go on through their career. And Camber Parker Bowden brought us an incredible quote. It is a quote from one of my favorites, from Seth Godin. And the quote is this: there's no shortage of remarkable ideas. What's missing is the will to execute them. this one hits so close to home with me because I am that person. I am the idea generator. I have a lot of crazy ideas, a lot of creative ideas, things that we could do, things that would be cool to see, things that I think would make the world a better place. And where I struggle is bringing those ideas down out of the clouds and putting them into action. But the quote that Camber Parker Bowden brings us, there's no shortage of remarkable ideas. We all have wonderful ideas. I think we all have things that we want to do. Things that deep down in our soul, there's a burning desire to do something. Boy, it'd be great if I could just have the time, the energy, the effort, the money to go do this, to be this. Boy, it'd be a great idea to create a product that does this, that solves this problem. We're all full of these ideas. That's not unusual. What's missing is the will and the desire to execute them. And it's more than just having to go through the tasks. It's more than just taking on those steps, going 1, 2, 3, and boom, it's done. It's more than just having a project manager walking you through the project plan. The quote says, what's missing is the will to execute them. And that word is incredibly important. It doesn't say what's missing is the ability to complete the tasks. It's the will. It's the desire. It's the drive. It's something so deep inside of you that's burning so brightly that you can't stop it, that you won't allow others to squash it, that you don't allow yourself to self-sabotage it. It's more than just completing the tasks. It's having the burning passion and desire to bring those ideas to fruition. And there is a huge difference. Incredible quote from Camber Parker Bowden, founder, CEO of the OPRO No Team. And that was episode 12. Episode 13, Nicole Huckabee, host of Conversations with Nicole and former news anchor in the PD area of South Carolina down in Florence, Myrtle Beach. And she was with a wonderful television station there for her entire career, bringing the news to the region. And she talked about that in our conversation, just the daily strain of bringing news, bringing just awful news. And she would reflect on how wonderful it was to bring those feel-good stories, but unfortunately how rare it was to be able to do so. And as she exited the news media industry, she found a wonderful podcast in Conversations with Nicole, where she is able to have meaningful, uplifting, quality conversations with incredible individuals. And Nicole absolutely has one of the most positive dispositions of anyone I've ever met. For someone that was responsible for bringing such bad news a lot of times to the masses, she has such an incredible ability to have a positive, meaningful, uplifting outlook. And I commend her for that. And Nicole brought us a wonderful quote, be the rainbow in someone else's cloud. And that quote from Maya Angelou. Be the rainbow in someone else's cloud. How do you do that? How do you be that rainbow for someone else? I think, first of all, if you're going to be a rainbow for someone, start with yourself. You have to be able to be genuine with yourself, to be honest with yourself, to understand where you are in your mental state. And then look for those that are around us that are struggling, that have nothing but gray skies in their lives. And do something. Say something. Give them a high five, a pat on the back, a word of encouragement, a smile. Something that brings about a beautiful rainbow. It doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be anything that is outlandish. A rainbow comes in many colors, shapes, sizes. Some of them reach all the way across the sky, from the bottom of the left horizon to the bottom of the right horizon. Some of them are just partial rainbows, there for a brief minute, a glimpse, and they're gone. All of them representing a promise, representing hope, representing an uplifting feeling that even though it's raining, even though these skies are gray, even though we've seen the lightning, we've heard the thunder, that there is beauty in all things, in all situations. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. So the quote here is to remind someone of the positive things, the uplifting things, the beautiful things that they can't see because all they see are the dark gray clouds. All they hear is the thunder rumbling all around them. Be their rainbow. Bring some joy and happiness into someone's life. We all have a story. We all have things that are going on. We all have things that we keep to ourselves that are troubling us. But there needs to be that person. There needs to be that one thing that comes into our lives to remind us that even though we all have our stuff, we also all have things that are very beautiful in our lives. And sometimes that looks different depending on the situation. Sometimes those beautiful things are people. Sometimes those beautiful things are relationships. Sometimes those beautiful things is simply time. The time that we have now. Time that should be spent in the now, in the present moment. Not worrying about what tomorrow brings. Not worrying about if the storm's going to get worse. But recognizing the positive things we have in front of us. Be the rainbow in someone else's cloud. By Maya Angelou. And that was brought to us by Nicole Huckabee of Conversations with Nicole. I would encourage you to search for her podcast. She has incredible conversations with wonderful people. That brings us to episode 15. Victoria Fusco. Victoria, the founder, the leader of the Leader HQ, an executive coaching team and training team who will help your business through coaching, through training, particularly training of soft skills. The Leader HQ, a fantastic group who understands the importance of teaching those soft skills to professionals. They do a very good job of doing that. And Victoria came to us with a powerful quote as well. Also from Maya Angelou. We had a little back-to-back Maya Angelou. People will forget what you did. People will forget what you said. But they will never forget how you made them feel. Doing things for people is important. Giving them uplifting words of encouragement, it's important. In the moment, it can make or break someone's day. A special gesture, a kind word. Something to tell someone that, hey, you know what? You're special to me. You mean a lot to me. So the quote here is not to say that things that you do or things that you say are not important. They certainly are. But long term, what results from what you say and what results from what you do is how you make someone feel. And so I don't think the quote is saying it's not important to concentrate on what you do and what you say. In fact, I think it's the contrary. I think it's the opposite. We should focus on what we say to people. We should focus on what we do for people. How we speak to them in a moment of need. How we provide for them in their needs. But it's even more important to think about it from a perspective of what if it's a person that may have done something bad to you, may have angered you in some way, may have cut you off in traffic or taken credit for a project that you did at work. Somebody that was just in a really bad space and made a mistake and did something wrong that negatively impacted you. How you respond to that, what you say, what you do, can absolutely make or break the situation. That's not to say that we let people off for doing things they shouldn't do. We're not going to hold them accountable and they shouldn't be responsible for their actions. But it is to say how we hold them accountable, how we hold them to their responsibilities of their actions is of the utmost importance. Empathy with kindness, compassion. Someone cuts you off in traffic and you're honking the horn, you're yelling at them, you're waving your hands around, and then you see them turn down the street where there was an accident and you realize they were rushing to get to a loved one who was in a car accident. Boy, how you responded in that moment, they'll remember that. Don't you know that I'm trying to get there? Don't you know that I'm trying to get to a loved one? We always have to be careful how we respond to things. Because at the end of the day, it makes people feel a certain way. What we do, what we say, they may forget those things, but they don't forget how it makes them feel. So when we respond to people in every situation, ask yourself the question, does it make the situation better? Does it cause a resolution? Or does it cause more division? Oh, sure, it feels so much better to voice your opinions and feel like you're getting the justice that you deserve for this terrible thing that's been done to you. But at the end of the day, shouldn't it be a resolution that we seek? Shouldn't it be the things that we do and we say, bringing a situation to a close in a way that's positive for everyone? You can hold people accountable in a positive way. In fact, you should. In fact, great leaders figure out how to hold their teams accountable in a way that makes them feel more motivated and more inspired to go do the things that they need to do than they were before. Fear doesn't motivate. Holding someone accountable in a job, telling them that you better get this straight or else, causes them to go straight to the job boards, not to a plan for self-improvement. Same is true in our personal relationships. As we hold people accountable for things that they do to us in our personal relationships, doing so in anger and doing so in spite, doing so with grudges, causes the relationship to split even further apart. But bringing someone together, holding them accountable in a way that says, hey, I love you and I want you to understand what this has done so that we can move forward, leaves them motivated to want to work on the relationship, to want to mend the gap, to want to heal. If we could just put our egos aside and realize that, yes, the things that we say and the things that we do are so important because it leads people to feel a certain way about us. They may forget what we did. They may forget what we said. But they'll never forget how we made them feel. And that was a powerful quote brought to us from Victoria for the Leader HQ. If you are looking for an opportunity for training with your teams, I'd encourage you to research the Leader HQ, reach out to Victoria. It's a wonderful group. Brings us to episode 16. One of the most interesting episodes that I've had in quite a while with the Phoenix, Mindy Lyons. And I say it's interesting. All of my guests are wonderful. All of them are interesting. But Mindy brought this rawness to her episode. Just this real, raw vulnerability. As she talked about her story, as she talked about her life, some of the things that have shaped her into who she is today and what she believes, her struggles with obesity, her struggles with toxic relationships, and how she was able to overcome those. And now, how she is able to not only overcome those things in her life, but also helping others by simply doing one thing, telling her story. And she brought a quote that she had heard, but couldn't find a source for. As we searched, I couldn't find the source for it either, but it's a powerful quote. So I'm going to give the credit to Mindy Lyons, the Phoenix, who said, "Your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison." Isn't it amazing how we feel when we finally share something that we're struggling with? And inevitably, someone somewhere says, "Oh yeah, I struggle with that too. Struggle with it all the time." And suddenly there's this feeling of camaraderie. We're not alone. Someone gets it. Someone understands. Someone empathizes. I don't think there's anyone out there that's struggling with something right now that someone else hasn't experienced. We all have stories, and I've said that earlier, but I don't think we all have unique stories. There may be unique parts of it, but the main issues, the main trauma, those things that bog us down, that weigh us down, we're not alone in them. There are others that have gone through what you're going through right now. What the Phoenix Mindy Lyons says is that your story can be the key to unlock someone else's prison. It can be the key to showing them that, hey, there is hope on the other side. There is hope coming out of the other side of this story. You can get through this. And how you get through it and what you do and how to resolve it may look different for every single person, but just knowing that someone has been through it somewhere and that they understand, it's so great not to feel alone. Now, you won't know that until you share with the struggles that you have. And you also won't know it until someone shares their story with you. And so the incredibly important key here is being comfortable with being vulnerable. And sharing your story looks very different. And Mindy talked about this in the episode, that sharing your story doesn't have to be you get up on stage and you spill your guts to 10,000 people. It could be listening to a conversation, overhearing something that someone is struggling with and pulling them aside and very quietly and discreetly saying, "Hey, I've had the same struggles. I've had the same battles. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you how I got through that." It could be something as simple as that. But we have to be willing to be vulnerable. And we have to recognize that the things that we have been through are not just things that were intended to help us grow. They're also intended to be shared so that others can see, that others can hear, and others can grow from it as well. And that's the mission that Mindy Lyons is on, to share her story, to let others know that they are not alone, and to give them hope that, yes, indeed, it can work out for the best. There is a way. There are multiple ways to get out of the situations that you're in, to overcome the challenges that you face. And we find that out by hearing your story. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be unwilling to share your experiences, because the story that you have can be the one thing that turns someone's life around. And that's incredible. And that's the message and the quote that was brought to us by the Phoenix, Mindy Lyons. Episode 16, Brandi Bigelow. Brandi is on a mission to absolutely, totally end occupational burnout. Gosh, it's such a powerful thing. A powerful message, because it's so common. Occupational burnout is just so common in our world today. And if you're not aware of it, if you don't understand what it is not an excuse for an employee to be lazy. It's not where someone says, well, I don't really feel like going in today, so I'm going to call in sick and I'm going to veg out on the couch. I must be burned out. That's not it at all. Occupational burnout is so much more than that. It's this defeating feeling that you can't do anything, that you don't have the energy to do anything. It's not that you want to veg out on the couch. It's that you have no other choice but to veg out on the couch. You want to get up. You want to go. You want to do. But you don't have the energy. You don't have the strength. Everything has been zapped from you. Burnout is not feeling tired and sluggish and unproductive at work and then getting home and playing with the kids and doing incredible things in your with your hobbies and your off time. Occupational burnout affects you 24/7. It's real, it's powerful, and it impacts not only your professional life, but your personal life. Brandi Bigelow is on a mission to end that. And if you are experiencing that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode 16 with Brandi Bigelow, understand what it is, reach out to Brandi, and let her help you with that. Brandi was a little different in the quote that she brought. She didn't bring a quote. She brought a fable. And it's incredible. It's a really good one as well, with a powerful message. And the fable, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, was about a man who wanted to change the world. But the world wasn't willing to listen. And so the man said, okay, I will go to my nation and I will change my nation. But the nation didn't have time for his message. So I said, fine, I will go to my town. I will change my town. And even the town said, no, we're not listening to you. So he goes to his family and the family brushes him off. No, we're not going to listen to that message. And as an older man, as he increased in years and age, maturity, he realized that if I had changed myself first, I could have changed my family. If I had changed my family, we could have changed the town. If we had changed the town, we could have changed the nation. If we had changed the nation, we could have changed the world. So much to unpack here. I think we all have dreams of being that change agent in the world. Would be great if the world would just listen to this one thing and do this one thing the way that I do it, or view this one situation the way that I view it. Change it for the better. But it'd be great if this country would just come together in such a way that unites us under one umbrella. If we could just all share in the thought process that this is the greatest country in the world. Boy, if my town would just rally around me and really think about how we could make things where we live a much better place. If my family would only listen to my message, they wouldn't struggle so much with the things that bring them down. All of that is an outward look. An outward look that has not been predecessed by an inward reflection. We have to first start by looking deep inside of our hearts, by understanding who we are and recognizing the changes that we need to make within ourselves. And then we look outwardly and we cast those ideas, we cast those stones, and those ripples begin to take effect. Yes, we have to start with ourselves before we can change anyone else, before we can look to change the things around us. We must recognize the things that within us that need to change. And that's the message from this quote that Brandy brings to us, that self-care, that self-awareness is so incredibly important. Especially if you're going to overcome something as big as occupational burnout. You must first recognize the things within you that has caused you to feel this way. Sure, there are extenuating circumstances and factors from the environment that you're in, but ultimately there is a trauma or a trigger within you that's caused your body to respond in such a way to an external stimuli. We must first recognize what needs to change within us before we can seek out to change the world. Episode 17, Eva Venari. Eva Venari came to us with an incredible quote as well, also in a very similar vein. The quote is from Carl Jung, "Until we make the unconscious conscious, it will rule us, and we will call it fate." Recognizing inside of us the things that have been imprinted and implanted on our brains by our environment, by our nature, and understanding them and recognizing them, bringing them to the conscious mind so that it doesn't rule us, so that we don't assume that it is what it is. Nothing is what it is. We have to make the conscious decision to search deep in our brains, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, to recognize those things that are there and decide if they need to be exalted, brought to the forefront, shared with the world, or if they need to be purged because they're not healthy, they're not helpful, they're not right. So many of us have been brought up in so many different cultures and brought up to believe in so many different things, typically things about other people, about other cultures, that are just not true. And so we have to make the conscious decision to understand, to empathize, to recognize those around us and not judge based on what's been imprinted upon our brain, but to observe and to make our own decisions about how we want to interact and how we want to behave. Those are the things that we bring to the forefront of our minds. Because if we don't, they will rule us. They will determine how we view things. They will determine how we see the advice coming from one individual that has a different cultural upbringing than ourselves. It's called bias. So until we're able to make the unconscious conscious, it will rule us, and we will call it fate. We'll just accept it as the way things are. But it's not the way things are. It's the way things are in terms of how we perceive them. And so a lot of inward reflection here with these two episodes with Brandy and with Eva, a lot of examining our hearts, examining our minds, understanding what's there, and really wanting to know, should we keep all that's there? Or should we seek to exalt the benefits, the good things, the positive things that reside in our minds and our hearts, and make changes to those things that may not be true after all? Episode 18, Kimberly Day. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunities. And that quote coming from Roman philosopher Seneca. And Kimberly mentioned, as we were talking, you know, it's funny when people look at someone who is successful and they say, boy, they're so lucky. It just grinds her nerves. She can't take that. Luck has nothing to do with it. These people, they don't see the preparation. They don't see the planning. They don't experience the setbacks and the failures that went into the success that people have. There's nothing that has anything to do with luck. Luck is created, not something that's bestowed upon us. And it's created through preparation, and it's created through meeting your opportunities, of recognizing them, of getting up off the couch and going out and meeting someone that does something that you would like to do, and learning from them, allowing them to open doors for you. It's opportunities, and opportunities come in so many shapes, forms, fashions, and from so many different sources. Even as I look back now on 18 guests that I have had since the inception of the Quotivation podcast, I can look at each one and I can see opportunities with every single person, with every single conversation. That's not luck. It wasn't lucky that I found Kimberly Day and was able to have and convince her to come on the show. That wasn't luck. That was preparation. I had the opportunity to reach out to her, and we connected, and we were on a call. I didn't have to do that, but I did it. And because I did, I had a wonderful episode, a great conversation, and I was able to actually hear this powerful quote from Seneca, the Roman philosopher. Kimberly was able to come on and share powerful insights into business, into how she went from having that J-O-B to figuring out how to write books to drive leads and to make money, to turn your book into a revenue generator. Luck had nothing to do with meeting Kim or Eva or Brandy or Mindy or Victoria or Nicole, Camber or Mark, or any of my other guests. Luck has nothing to do with what you are successful at today. You worked hard. You prepared. You found the opportunities and you took advantage of them. So when we think about people's success and we want to say, gosh, they're lucky they have so much money, or they're lucky they get to do that job, luck has absolutely nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with what they did when no one was looking, before the success came, before the idea was fully baked, the preparation that went into it, the things that went on behind the scenes. That's how you generate success. Guest 19, episode 19, Marilyn August, just last week, left us with a powerful, powerful quote that came from such a personal place with her, such a personal story. The quote is her quote: pain pushes, vision pulls. Marilyn talked about using the pain from the past experiences to push you forward, to move you from where you are, not to wallow in it, not to allow it to absorb you, but to absorb it and allow it to propel you forward towards your goals. But it's not just the propulsion forward from the pain pushing you, but there also has to be a goal, a purpose, a reason, a vision that is out there that's pulling you. And when you have the ability to take the pain and the suffering and the things that you've been through, the struggles, the failures, the setbacks, the things both personally and professionally that are in your life that have caused you to maybe turn a little bitter, to maybe to have a little bit of trauma, when you allow those things to push you away, you are leaving the pain behind and it's pushing you towards the vision that's pulling you. Oh, such a powerful quote from Marilyn. And Marilyn talked about your personal brand and how important it is to present that in a way that attracts what you're looking to attract. She focuses on brand and can help with LinkedIn profiles and LinkedIn campaigns. She offers an ebook that's free, Tips and Scripts of LinkedIn. Go back to the episode and check it out. It's in the episode recaps, the link to register for that. Pain Pushes and Vision Pulls talks about really the ability to look forward and know where you're going, setting your goals, not even setting your goals, setting your vision of what you want the future to look like and allow that vision to pull you towards it while leaving the pain of the past behind, allowing it to propel you forward. Pain Pushes, Vision Pulls. What a great group of guests for the Quotivation Podcast. Guests 11 through 19, Mark Smith, Cambra Parker Bowden, Nikki Huckabee, Victoria Fusco, Mindy Lyons, The Phoenix, Brandy Bigelow, Eva Venari, Kimberly Day, and Marilyn August. I want to thank them all for being now part of the Quotivation family. I am forever grateful to them. I look forward to working more with them. As Kim said, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. Each of these individuals bring about an incredible opportunity to do more, to spread these messages, to share this more with the world. And I'm excited about those that will come to fruition. And I'm excited to have made 9 really wonderful, powerful friends here on the Quotivation Podcast. So what's next? Our 10th quote, our 10th guest. Well, it's me. And I do have a little quote that I want to share. And it's a quote, actually, that came out of one of my shots of motivation. And I believe it was in our last episode. And this quote has really stuck in my brain. I've had recently the opportunity to work with a company, do an all-day training there. And it was an incredible experience because what I saw was a room full of people, of leaders, of an organization who were incredibly comfortable being themselves. And we've talked about it before. You have to create an environment as a leader. You have to create an environment where people feel safe, comfortable, able to be themselves. And what's interesting about this, I had a conversation with one of the leaders towards the end of the day, and they were talking about something they're struggling with because this is a customer-facing business, and they have dress codes and they have standards that they as an organization have agreed upon. And one of them had to do with piercings. There are no facial piercings or body piercings that can be visible while interacting with a customer. Now, some would say that's antiquated. Some would say, well, what does that have to do with anything? But it doesn't matter what we say, whether it's antiquated or whether we agree with it or not, the organization itself has set that policy. You know that coming in. And one of the leaders was talking to me about that and said, you know, I have someone who is a different generation than I am, who challenges me every day and says, well, you know, I wear this piercing because I want to be comfortable in being myself. And her question was, how do I address that? How is it that we can build an environment where people are comfortable being themselves, yet hold people to standards like dress codes, particularly piercings, or maybe it's tattoos, maybe it's not allowing t-shirts, only allowing collared shirts, whatever the case may be. How do you hold someone accountable when they say, well, this is part of me being comfortable and feeling comfortable being able to be myself? How do you respond to that? And I find it interesting that someone would identify a nose ring or you know, a ring in your eyebrow or wear some type of body piercing as being yourself. Are you defined by the piercing? No, you are so much more than what you look like. You are so much more than how you dress. Is it a form of your expression? Sure, it can be. But it's not who you are. We don't want you to be comfortable in the way you look. We want you to be comfortable in who you are as a person. And I gave the advice to the leader, and I said, you know, it's also important to remind everyone that as part of this team, as part of this company, as part of this organization, you're part of something larger than yourself. And yes, we want you to be yourself, but understand at the end of the day, you're also part of something bigger than yourself. And sometimes that may conflict with things that we want to do, things that we want to wear. But at the end of the day, you have to decide if you're going to make a commitment to an organization to be part of something bigger than yourself. And so there's give and take in terms of creating this environment where people feel safe to be themselves. I would argue that a nose ring or an ear piercing or an eye piercing or whatever, a tattoo, a t-shirt is not who you are. Be careful wrapping up your identity in the way you look. It doesn't end well. People are so enamored and involved in invested in models, actors, people in Hollywood, influencers on social media. And we're stunned when these people who seemingly have all the beauty in the world and the world at their fingertips and this incredible platform do things like take their own lives. Like, how could they do that? Why would they do that? They had everything. But the outward appearance, whether it be your looks, whether it be your job, whether it be the money that you have, or the facade that you put on for the public or for people around you, never seems to quite tell the story. It's not who you are. And so as we think about this from a perspective of leadership and how to build powerful teams and how to create safe environments, we want to understand the purpose for creating that. It's not for people to be able to do whatever they want. The purpose is for people to feel comfortable doing the job that they were hired to do. That they can do it in a way that makes them feel fulfilled. That they can do it in a way that makes them feel like they're part of the bigger solution. They can do it in a way that makes them feel like they are being the best version of themselves. And that takes a little bit of give and take. We can't let, as leaders, we can't let people do whatever they want. Who wants to go to work? Not very many people. If I let people do what they want, then they're not going to show up for work. They're going to be out by the pool. They're going to be hanging out with their family. That's what we want to do. But if we recognize that we're creating an environment where people come to work and feel like they can be themselves in a way that moves the job and the company forward, then you've created a powerful environment. And the quote that I have for you today is this: you can't be your best self if you can't be yourself. There are plenty of environments, working environments, that you go into where you can't feel comfortable raising your hand and asking a question, saying, "I don't understand. I need help. I don't have the training to do the task." And when you can't do those things, you can't effectively do your job. When you can't effectively do your job in the way that you are gifted to do it, you can't be the best version of yourself. And being the best version of yourself has nothing to do with how you look, what you wear. It has nothing to do with your political views. It has nothing to do with your thoughts on the world or religion. What it has to do is taking the gifts that you were given, applying them in a way that makes the job and the work incredible. It allows you to contribute to the overall bottom line of the organization. It allows you to see the importance of your job and the importance of the gifts you bring to the job. That's what it means to be your best self. You can't be your best self if you can't be yourself. And as leaders, we have to recognize that. And we also have to understand what it means. I hope you go out this week and you become the best version of yourself. And you're able to do so in an environment where being yourself is recognized as a good thing. And I hope you recognize that being yourself in your work environment means that you're able to take the gifts and the strengths and the qualities that you have deep inside and let them shine so that you can do your job incredibly. That's how you win your week. I want to thank you for listening and celebrating this special 20th episode of the Quotivation Podcast. I can't thank my guests 11 through 19 enough. Again, Mark Smith, fantastic story. God does not make junk. Such a redemptive story. An incredible man. Camber Parker Bowden, the founder of YoPro No. There's no shortage of remarkable ideas. What's missing is the will to execute them. Find the will. Go make those ideas that are swimming around your head that you say, it'd be great to be able to do this. Go bring them into existence. Nicole Huckabee, be the rainbow in someone else's cloud. Find that individual that just sees gray skies and bring light and color and brightness into their life. Victoria Fusco, people will forget what you did. People will forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Smile at someone today and make their day. Make them feel special. The Phoenix, Mindy Lyons, your story can be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. Share your story. Be vulnerable. Understand that your story is not just yours to hoard, but it needs to be shared. Brandy Bigelow, with the fable that ultimately says, if I had changed myself first, I could have changed my family. If I changed my family, we could have changed the town. If we had changed the town, we could have changed the nation. And if we had changed the nation, we could have changed the world. Inward perspective. See what needs to be changed in you first before reaching to change those things in others. Eva Venari, until we make the unconscious conscious, it will rule us and we will call it fate. That from Carl Jung. Again, inward focus, looking inside of us. What are the things that have been imprinted and implanted within us that we need to bring to the consciousness? We need to evaluate the goodness or the badness of it. Kimberly Day, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunities. In other words, there's no such thing as luck. Prepare. Find the opportunities. That's how you succeed. Go do the things that you're supposed to do, that you need to do. And then finally, Marilyn August, pain pushes. Vision pulls. Powerful quote. Leave the pain of the past in the past. Allow it to propel you forward so that the vision of what you want to accomplish pulls you. And you're able to achieve incredible success. And then finally, just remember, you can't be your best self if you can't be yourself. Find the things within you that are gifted, that are natural, that are strengths. Allow them to shine. Allow them to shine in your job. Be who you are so that you can be the best version of yourself. Incredible quotes. An incredible milestone. I tell you what, we'll do it again. In episode 30, as we look back at guests 21 through 29. I hope you found something this week as we look back and we reflected that will help you win your week. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.